This recording is taken live from a session which I did for the Impact MBA. So for the very first round of Impact School's MBA, I decided that because of the coronavirus, I wasn't going to put a price tag on it. And instead, I let people join for free. And so I did three of these. I did day one, which is all about the impact ecosystem. So really nailing your niche, but also the competitor analysis. And there's day two when it comes to actually how to generate leads, make sales and all that. And then day three is graduating and going out into the real world with a solid plan of action. So you're going to be hearing calls directly taken from my Facebook group, and you can get into this Facebook group for free. It is called Secrets of High Ticket Sales and the Impact Offer. But you know, in the future, maybe we'll change that name. So I'm going to leave a link to that Facebook group. But if you want to just get instant access and go there straight up, it's just facebook.com/groups/online-impact. Okay, so it's facebook.com/groups/online-impact. And we may run the Impact School MBA in the future. So just go to impactschoolmba.com and you can join the waitlist. With that said, let's just dive straight into it. Let's go. Sweet guys, yeah, drop your questions in. Okay, so Kayla said, I'm in the process of building my fitness program, but haven't yet released it. Should my Instagram bio still contain my niche, for example? Yes, yes, yes. Definitely you want to be attracting people. So guys, when it comes to building your business, the best thing that you can do is have your audience building on autopilot, right? Even if you don't have anything to sell yet, because then that means that if you're building up an audience of people who are interested in what it is that you have to offer, then when it comes to you actually having something to sell, you have a pool of people who you can tap into to actually go ahead and market to. So for sure, they might not be joining an email list or anything, but if they're commenting on your stuff, that means that you have an audience of people who you can already start building conversations with. And even if you don't want to start these conversations with these people immediately right now, you're going to be able to tap into them very easily as soon as you're ready. Okay, so your current followers, right? There's sort of three factors, right? There's firstly the market factors. So the market factors is that hopefully your current following is growing, right? In an ideal world. The second factor is, well, within market factors, is that your audience are clearly demonstrating a demand for you and your services, right? Just by following you. And so, you know, that kind of means that there's a predictable audience who are going to be interested in getting something from you. The second factor when it comes to building an audience of ideal clients on autopilot is that, well, there's a low barrier to entry for this target market. So it means that you're not going to have to spend in the future a lot of time or money to get yourself in front of them because they're already buying into you and everything that you do, right? Similarly, the second economic factor is that they're already online, right? So that means that they're already more suitable for buying into you as someone who has an online business, okay? They're already online because they're already following you. So again, they're easy and cheap for you to contact. So your cost per acquisition is going to be much lower, if anything at all. Okay, and then the third factor is competitive factors. So at this point, they clearly understand how and why you are differentiated at that point. So that's why they follow you, okay? And so obviously the only danger is that they may also be following people who provide a similar service, but as long as you're making sure that your content is quality, then you're able to get in front of them and have them as an audience member. And obviously from that point, you can tap into them in the future. So let's just say they're commenting on your posts. That means that in, let's say, 2 months' time, when you're fully ready to dive all in on this, you can go back to those posts and you can see, oh, hey, look, this girl called Clea was commenting on my post. I'm going to go to her profile and send her a message, right? Because she'll know who you are because she commented on your post in the past. And so it's a way for you to build up this network of people who you can then tap into later on in the future. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to the next question. So somebody said, how did you decide a niche? This is my hardest task as I feel I have multiple interests and ideas, but I'm not head over heels in any one idea yet. So that question was from Emily Wooten. So how do you decide a niche? Well, I think when it comes down to deciding a niche, the first thing is that in the Impact MBA, as long as you go through the first part, which is the Impact ecosystem step by step, there's really clear content on how to find a niche, okay? So that will help you massively. So then for anyone who's watching this on catch up or anything, the Impact MBA is a program which I created, which is a 3-day program to help you get your online business up and running and to ensure that you have the competitive advantage and have the tools necessary to truly scale and build on top of that solid foundation. So when it comes to specific things that I personally looked at, because obviously everything's in the MBA to help you with this, but me personally, what do I look for when it comes to a niche? I kind of look for 2 to 4 things, right? The first thing is it needs to be something that I'm interested in. If I'm not interested in it, then I know that I'm going to get burnt out and no longer go to it. So when I was in the fitness industry, back when I used to be a fitness coach, the reason why I got into that industry and why I had that as my niche is because that was my biggest interest. The second thing is that I just went for an ideal client who was me just a few years ago. So when I was doing fitness, I was helping women lose fat in a healthy way because in the past I had lost fat in a really unhealthy way. So I wanted to help the me of like 3 years before. And so it just made it really, really easy for me to pick a niche there. Okay, so then the next thing from that is that I want to go for a profitable niche, right? Because here's the thing. Back when I was at university, after I had left my job in asset management, which was on the 1st of April, 2016, that was the day I quit my job. It was not an April Fool. I was very serious about leaving, as you can see now. But anyways, so when I left my job, I then went to university. And while I was at university, I noticed, oh my goodness me, there are so many of my friends who are getting really fat while they're starting university. And they would come to me saying, Lauren, how do I lose my freshers 15? And so I was like, well, look at this. I have people actively coming to me asking me questions. Because that's another thing, right? A really good niche for you is going to be going for the people, like essentially thinking, what questions are people already asking me? And who are the people who are already asking me those questions? That can be a really, really good option for you when it comes to picking your niche, okay? And so I had that all coming to me at university. And so I was like, well, this is perfect. So I spent, I think it was almost 4 months creating this program called University Meets Fitness. Because back then I had just started a podcast called Business Meets Fitness, a podcast. By the way, when I was in the US just now, as I was talking to people in person and I would say, oh yeah, I have a podcast called Impact School, when they kind of asked me what I did, oh my gosh, so many people were like, a what? And I was like, a podcast. And then they would reply back to me saying, a podcast? And I was like, a podcast. And then they were like, oh, you have a podcast. Now I understand. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, at least now I know that I need to clarify that. So anyways, that's what I had back then, a podcast called Business Meets Fitness. And so I decided to create this program, spent 4 months creating it. And guess what then ended up happening? Guess what? I launched it and nobody bought. Not a single person, because I was creating a high ticket offer for an audience who didn't have the funds to invest in something high ticket. So when I'm looking to figure out what niche I want to go for, I am going to go for a niche that is going to be profitable, especially during times of recession, because there's going to be a recession coming. Harvard Economics and a bunch of different places such as Bloomberg Economics as well. I used to use Bloomberg when I was working in asset management. It's a crazy application which has all the stock prices on it in all these fancy colors and it's very confusing. Bloomberg Economics have literally predicted that there is going to be a recession coming within the next 12 months. And we can already see the beginnings of it now. You know, what's happening right now is a small little downturn in it. Well, it's massive actually. But what's happening now is just like a short-term thing, right? But there is going to be a recession on the back end of this. But I'm not going to get into the crazy economics now because I don't want to overwhelm anybody. But anyways, when it comes to my niche, I'm sure as heck making sure that I'm going for someone that's profitable. So I recently uploaded a podcast and a YouTube video talking about what I would do if I was starting again now from scratch. Make sure to go and check that out if you've not done so already. But I would go for an audience of people who already have money and who are willing to invest. Or I would go for other businesses who already have customers who are paying them, and I would get in front of those people. Okay. So I hope that answers your question. Rob said, I'm building my management coaching niche. Here's what I came up with. So his impact statement is helping ordinary bosses transform into empathetic, emotionally intelligent managers. Okay, so this question is basically asking if that sort of vision statement, mission statement is good, right? So it says, helping ordinary bosses transform into empathetic, emotionally intelligent managers. So I actually, when I read that about helping ordinary bosses, I'm thinking that you're talking to me like as a boss babe, okay? So I wouldn't think that you're mentioning like a boss as in a manager, okay? So your niche is management coaching. So I would actually pivot this and I would say helping managers transform into empathetic, emotionally intelligent bosses so that their teams drastically increase their productivity. Something like that, okay? I would pivot it like that, right? Because you want to make it clear as to who you're reaching out to. So then another example that has come in here to do an impact statement analysis is from David Riddle. And he said, I help clients find peace and transformation using the Akashic Records and Reiki for energy balancing. Okay, so this is very confusing. You want to make it clear, so clear that a 10-year-old could read it and understand what it means. Because like when you say I help clients, like who are these clients? What is Akashic Records and what is Reiki? I know that you help people with energy balancing because you say that at the end, but could it be I help high performers balance their energy through peace? And this is where it's like, I don't honestly understand exactly what you're doing. So you just got to make that way, 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 way clearer. Okay. So another question has come in and it says, hey, Lauren, how do I go about offering a service if I don't have a lot of engagement? Yeah, I have a big audience in my country. Yeah, I'm not really interested in creating business here because I feel like a high ticket offer would not work. What can I do? And I know that this girl, Meshi Mansilla, she lives in a country which not a very wealthy country, right? So when it comes to this, right, I was on the phone call with someone called Kirk yesterday and I was outside on my walk, my one daily walk that you're allowed while this whole coronavirus lockdown is going on. And at the end of the call, I like to give people some open and honest feedback, right? That's what we like to do when we're getting on calls with potential clients. And so I said to him, I was like, hey, look, do you mind if I give you some open and honest feedback? Right now, what you're doing is you're trying to emulate what other people in your country are doing who have built online businesses. And he's from the Philippines, right? And so all of his friends were charging like $120 a month. And so I said to him, I was like, look, when it comes to the offer which you're making to people, remember when it's an online business, your clients don't have to be there with you in person. That's the whole point of having an online business. You can help people all around the world, right? My clients, most of my clients are not from the UK because I know that in the UK, people are really, really skeptical. People are much more negative. And I know that in countries like the USA, people are much more open-minded, much more growth-minded. That's why we have a lot of USA clients, right? Because USA people tend to be more driven. Now, I don't wish that the world was that way, but it's just how it is. So when it comes to who do we market to, we spend most of our time marketing to the USA. That's how we operate. Of course, I gain followers from all countries, but ultimately, when it comes to me thinking, where am I going to spend the most of my efforts? And if I'm running ads and paid traffic, where am I going to spend the money on the ads? I'm going to spend it on the US, right? Because I know that they're going to be much more likely to buy from me. So when it comes to this question, you firstly asked about it doing in your country. Remember, just go where you know people are going to buy from you. So again, I'm going for the USA for the most part. Again, I love clients from all around the world, but I'm just saying with numbers what works, because you need to know your numbers as you scale. And then the second part of this question is, how do I go about offering a service if I don't have a lot of engagement? Well, on day two of Impact School's MBA, we will be diving into how to actually get clients without having to have a following or anything, but it really is down to permission-based relationship marketing. So what does that mean? Well, we will be getting this into this in day two. So if you're listening to this on catch up on the podcast or whatever, which I'll be uploading sometime in the future, make sure to smash subscribe because it will be coming. But what I'm getting at here through permission-based relationship marketing is what you need to do is you need to go ahead and you need to be having conversations with people. You don't need a big following when it comes to high ticket, because let's just say even if you're selling something just for $1,000, right? That's it. If you just make sales to 5 people, that's $5,000 a month, right? And that's a pretty good salary for most people, okay? That's bigger than the average. So when it comes down to this, just realize that when it comes to high ticket, when it comes to coaching and consulting and any services, it's about building relationships with people. So Jen Nesbitt said, can I merge 2 niches such as helping people with habit transformation / productivity and nutrition / training? Yes, absolutely. That is how you create a niche within a niche, 100%. So when it comes to niching down, I think it's important to realize that you don't just have to pick one thing such as fitness. Okay, you're going to help people with fitness, and then you're also going to go deeper and help them with their productivity. Okay, absolutely. Then you have to think, okay, what prospects could do with that help? Well, I see that there's really 2 people that could do with that help just from the very get-go, or even 3, right? First thing would be students, but again, we've already identified they don't have much money, so there's no point in going for them. Second thing is people who are doing well in a corporate job because they need to be more productive and being fit will help them. And then the third thing could be like parents who are busy with kids. So when I think who's the most likely to actually spend money on this, it's going to be the parents, or it's going to be the people who are working office jobs. Or it could even be both someone who needs fitness, who needs productivity, and who is both a mom and working in a corporate job. But that's just an example there. So yeah, absolutely, you can pick niches. But I think ultimately, when it comes down to, for example, when I'm recording this on the 2nd of April, 2020, we're in the middle of COVID-19. So can you be as specific with your niche? You might have to go a little bit broader for now, right? You might have to work with people that aren't necessarily your ideal client. But ultimately, when it comes to what we help our clients with, we help our clients market to an outcome. Okay, so if you're telling people that you're going to help them lose 10 pounds while increasing their productivity so that they can make an extra $20,000 per year in their business or something, that's what you market towards. Okay, it's all about the outcome. It is all about the outcome. Okay, when it comes to the next question, what I'm going to go for is I'm going to go for this one, right? From Naomi Gibson, which says, what's the most important thing a personal trainer can do now in order to recession-proof themselves? Okay, this is a really good question. So this applies to personal trainers. This applies to people who are typically in-person therapists. This applies to people who, do any sort of brick and mortar business. In fact, yesterday, as I was on my walk, a lot happened on my walk yesterday. I was walking along the street and my friend Tim Cooper cycled past me. And it was around 3 months ago that Tim Cooper and I were actually on a phone call we met just after seeing Gary Vee speak live at an event that I was invited to because I was interviewing the owner of the company, right? Massive company, Success Resources. I bumped into him there, and then suddenly I bump into him yesterday. He's cycling along in this crazy, crazy outfit with these crazy sunglasses on. No one would ever have recognized him. But I hear someone say, hey, Lauren Tickner. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness me, this has not happened to me for a while. A follower has spotted me, because it used to happen all the time when I was in the fitness industry, just because my content was popping and going like super viral, because fitness content does that, right? So people would recognize me like on the street and stuff. Doesn't happen as often now. And when it does happen, people aren't like, oh my gosh, is that Lauren Tickner? Then we're like, hey, Lauren, and then they'll ask me a question about business. Anyways, I digress. Tim was basically like making a joke, right? Like being like, oh my gosh, is that Lauren? Anyways, when it came to what we were chatting about though, he was telling me how he was essentially now having to pivot his entire business online because he was doing in-person high ticket coaching. And I'm going to actually bring him on my podcast. We're going to do a Zoom call together and I'm going to have him share about that. But he was doing high ticket coaching. He really does like peak performance stuff, like very high ticket he charges. But a while back, that was what was happening 3 months ago, he was asking me how to take it online. But he had no urgency to take it online because he was doing really well. He was making a lot of money. But he said to me yesterday, he was like, I've had to shift everything that I'm doing. It's been panic mode, panic stations. I've been having to try and figure out how to do everything online because otherwise he knows he's going to lose his clients because he normally flies around the world to go and see his clients. So this is a case of thinking, okay, how can I recession proof? How can I crisis proof my business right now because of everything that's going on? If anything like this happens again, or when the recession is going to come, as Bloomberg Economics has said it's coming within the next 12 months, how can I make sure that my business doesn't die just because I can't do in-person stuff? So again, this applies to personal trainers, anyone who does in-person services, really. Not even just services, anything in person. I think there's really two sides to this, okay? And there's two types of people in this time. There are those people who are just trying to survive, who are just trying not to lose clients, who are coming at this from a place of defense, and who are just trying to sort of save as much money as they possibly can. We all know that in the long term, those people die out, right? Because there's only so much money you can save. There's only so many clients you can save from leaving you, right? Before you need to start getting more. But if you just play on the defense, then what's going to happen is you're not going to get any more clients, because there is the second group of people, the type of people who see this time as an opportunity to scale, to grow, and to get out on top. If that's you, I want you to take a screenshot of this right now, share it on your story, and tag me at Lauren Tigna and say, I am the type of person who's using this time period to come out on top. So that second type of person, what they're doing, they're spending this time focusing on building something that is recession-proof, that is going to last, rather than a lot of these personal trainers who I'm seeing, as an example, they're just doing Skype workouts or Zoom workouts with their clients. So instead of seeing them in person, they're just doing it on Zoom. Yeah, that's playing from defense, right? Because right now, every single fitness company in the world is posting at-home workouts. There is an abundance of that right now. That's not what people need. What people need right now is that personal one-on-one support, that personal help. And so what I would do if I were you in this scenario is I would build a solid online coaching offer. I would get a few people into that offer, work with them hands-on, get feedback from them, and have that as such a sturdy program that I can then, after this whole time period is over, scale up massively. Now is the time that people are able to build something and then make sure that you have that foundational layer nailed, so that when it comes to reaching the other side of this, and no one knows how long that's going to be, when it comes to reaching that side, well, you are going to be over and above everybody else who's just been playing on the defense. So again, if you're that second type of person, take a screenshot of this, share it, and tag me at Lauren Tickner, because I want to know who those A players are. Tag me on Insta or LinkedIn or whatever. It's up to you. But anyways, so with that said, I really hope that specific answer helps, right? Because I think it's a case of realizing that there really are two types of people. And if you're the first type of person, you are going to get swept under the rug, because those second type of people are going to be way out on ahead. Okay. And so realize as well that when it comes to building a program, you don't have to do it for free. Remember, when people pay, they pay attention. So I'm hoping that you right now, because you've had access to this program for free, I'm hoping that you're going to still pay as much attention as any of my paying clients. Because I mean, I've had them go through this program and they've had insane results. In fact, I got one of them messaged me earlier. He came through this program, and then on the back end, he did his graduation call, decided that he wanted to go into our Launchpad program, right? Within the first couple weeks of being in that program, he made £2,800, okay? So $3,400 in 2 weeks because he had paid, so he paid attention. So I hope that you pay as much attention to this Impact School MBA as my paying clients do, because then you can get results just like that, okay? So anyways, there was a second part to Naomi's question, which I want to go ahead and answer now. And she said, what are the three most important things I need to do to set up right now? So the first thing that I would do is realize that you can sell before you build, especially during these times. So what do I mean by that? Well, you can essentially create your impact offer outline. I know that that's what we're doing inside of this program here. You can create your impact offer outline and then start doing the permission-based relationship marketing that I was mentioning. So inside of day two, inside the Impact MBA, I do talk about the messaging method that we use in order to get sales calls booked. But I would say that the biggest aim for you should be to be getting people who are your ideal clients on phone calls with you and offering them this opportunity to be one of your first few testers of your program, so that in exchange for them doing it right now, they give you feedback. And then from there, because you've got their feedback, right? Because you've also worked with them, they've paid you. Again, don't do it for free for them. Make a high ticket price, like maybe for a fitness coach, it could be like 3.8K. Give it to them for maybe like 50% off, right? And then they go through your program, you get the feedback of them. And that is how you can make the most of this time, okay? Building something that's gonna make a difference. So then when it comes to the next question, Ryan Ong said, "Hi, Lauren, I hope you're well. Hope you're well too. Hope you're washing your hands." My question is, would targeting non-professionals who are looking into transitioning into data science a specific enough niche? Okay, I honestly don't know if those people would actually spend money on that. So I am going to have to pass on this question because I don't know if non-professionals would pay money to transition into data science. If you're teaching them how to build a business where they can make a ton of money being a data scientist, for sure. But I can't answer that question, I am afraid. I do not know. This is the type of question that we would need to, you know, have you as one of our paying clients to be able to analyze your business properly to give you a good answer. So would you apply the money-making messaging method on TikTok? Or do you prefer TikTok for growth and taking those followers to a different platform to then pitch them? I think when it comes to pitching clients, it comes down to what is the path of least resistance for the client. That's the most important thing. Somebody asked a question saying, which service do you recommend for charging clients? I mean, PayPal, whatever. So you can use Stripe. That's what I used when I was first starting. If you have a bigger business and you have a lot of revenue coming in from the USA, kind of like over 50K per month, then message me private because I actually have another service that I use where they take a way lower percentage. So yeah, just message me private about that. But for the most part, I would say when it comes to starting with new clients, the best thing to do is to use Stripe. That's what we teach to our clients. Cool. Let's get some more questions in here, team, please. Lauren, does this also apply to freelance work? Heck yeah. But if you're doing freelance work, why not package that up into an impact offer like we teach you in the Impact MBA, which you have access to for free, and go ahead and make sure that you have something that you can sell that's your own, and then that you can get consistent clients, because freelance work is risky. I mean, let's say you're a graphic designer, right? It means that you could one day have like 3 clients and the next week have 1 job and so on and so forth. It's just really, it's risky, you know? You want to have consistent clients coming in. So if I was a freelancer, what I would do is I would go and find business owners who already have my ideal clients. So for example, if you're a graphic designer, I would find like business coaches and I would say to them, hey, business coach. So, hey, Lauren, my name is, I don't remember who asked that question, but I think it was Megan. So, hey, Lauren, my name is Megan. I am a graphic designer and right now the times are tough. There's a recession coming and what you're doing looks great. But one thing that I noticed is that your clients are really lacking graphic design. They don't have any highlights on their Instagram. They don't have good visuals and blah, blah, blah. I would love to offer you something for your clients where normally I would, you know, charge a lot of money for each one-on-one. But ultimately, because of the fact that there's a recession coming, I know that as a business coach, just like many of my other business coach clients, it's really important for you to up-level your service so you don't get left behind. I have a way that I can help you do that. Would you like to get on a call? Something like that. I don't know. Then get them on a call and basically offer to them the fact that you can do graphic design one-on-one for all of their clients. And you're only going to charge like $200 per client, right? Let's say their clients as a business coach have been charged, had paid like 10K. If you're only charging $200 per client, like that is such a bargain that makes their offer more valuable, and it allows you to have a consistent stream of clients, right? Because you're only selling one time to the business coach, the business owner, right? Whereas then that means you can get multiple business coach clients, and it means that you can, your clients are the business coaches rather than the business coach's clients. Do you see what I'm saying? Lydia said a really good question here. It's not really to do with what's going on in the MBA today, but I'm gonna answer it anyways. If someone writes in an application form before a call that they've been laid off work, is it worth taking the call as they won't be able to go for high ticket? If they say that they've been laid off, the chance that they are going to actually buy from you is quite low, but you can't ever make assumptions in business. So that's why it's really important to have a pre-call follow-up system in place, so that if there's a question answer like that, you follow up with them. So what I would do if I were you and I saw that answer on an application form is I would send them a message saying, by the way, I've just noticed that you've recently been laid off. Does this mean that you have no stable income right now? I'd send something like that. Okay. So there are quite a lot of questions coming in, which are like more high level type of thing that we answer for our clients, like setting up an LLC, really specific things, such as like Brooke Diaz has sent something really specific about her program. I can see Connor Tyson has sent in a question here. If my team could send me some more stuff, that would be great, please. But Connor Tyson said, 2 days ago, I offered a hot lead on Instagram a chance to work with me as a beta tester, just like this. And it worked a treat. Awesome, Connor. I know that you've watched our previous trainings where you found out about that strategy. So I'm glad that it worked. So he said, this program I sold was a 6-week coaching course for £500. But I need to refine my niche to allow me to target more people with higher incomes to work with me. Absolutely. So that's why I really, really do recommend using LinkedIn. LinkedIn's amazing for this. You guys are going to find out more about how we use LinkedIn, because we actually integrate a really good automated method, which allows you to scale massively and generate 100 new leads without doing a dang thing. So that's one of the strategies which we provide to our clients. But you just need to think about this, okay? My ideal clients are already somewhere. Where are they already? And how can I get in front of them in that sense? So they're already on social media platforms. They're already following specific influencers. They're already listening to specific podcasts. So how can you get yourself in front of those people, right? That is what I would say to that. Okay, so Brooke's question was a really long one, but essentially what she was saying is, I created this massive program, right? This massive program with tons of stuff in it, but I'm not sure if it's good enough to have as a high ticket. And so is it truly valuable enough if all the questions can be answered on YouTube? I really have a couple of answers to that, okay? So the first thing is, back then, right, when you were first getting into your thing that you help people with. So I know for you, Brooke, your example is in fitness. So back then, when you were first getting into it, if you knew then what you know now, how much would you have paid? That's my first question. How much money would you have saved? Okay, how much physically, like realistically? Okay, so probably, you know, at least a few hundred. But secondly is, okay, so even if back then you weren't someone that had money, who is someone who values the outcome as much as you would have, who actually does have money? And how can you get in front of those people? For sure, people can find anything they want on YouTube, but people don't pay for information. People pay for implementation. So our clients, when they come to us, I want to give them as little content as possible to actually get to the outcome. So I always see these coaches and these consultants selling the fact that they do Zoom calls and that they do weekly check-ins and that, for example, in the fitness industry, they do meal plans. Guess what? Your client doesn't care. Instead, your clients, your potential clients want to hear that you're going to save them time, you're going to tell them exactly what to do, and that you're going to take the stress off their hands, and you're going to help them lose 20 pounds in 6 months. Okay, just as an example, right? That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the nitty-gritty. So often, as the coach, as the consultant, as the business owner, we get really tied to and attached to our methodologies. We get attached to like our content because we put so much work into it. But at the end of the day, the client doesn't care. The client doesn't care how much time you've spent on it. The client cares about the outcome that you can take them to. So how can you take them to that outcome in the fastest way possible? That's my question to you. when it comes to building up programs. How can you take the client to the outcome in the fastest way possible? Okay, so I hope that that answer there is useful as well. Okay, cool. So when it comes to more questions, I'm finding more pop up. So many. Brooke said, I wasted a ton of time figuring out the best fitness routine that works for me before I educated myself. But yes, thank you. Exactly. Imagine if you never had to have wasted all of that time. You could have spent that time making money. That's what I'm saying. So it's just how you frame this in your ideal client's minds, okay? How are you positioning yourself against everybody else? That's what's really, really important. Okay, so I have a question here which says, I want my niche to be millennials / 18 to 25 year olds who are looking to go into business from leaving school. In terms of high ticket sales, you mentioned obviously students will not have that big of an income. So am I limiting myself to that age bracket? Yes, you absolutely are. The only way that you can make that feasible is if you actually speak to the universities and get them to pay you. Right? But the chance of that happening, I'm not going to lie, is probably kind of low. You can often sometimes get grants from universities sometimes for these things, but I don't know. Like, I wouldn't risk going for that audience. 18 to 25, they've just spent a bunch of money on university. They're in massive debt. You're going to hear that objection again and again and again. What else is going to end up happening is that their friends are still partying, so they don't necessarily want to go into business that bad. And if they do, what they're probably going to do is get an internship at a company like mine. I'm just being real with you, okay? So they aren't at a stage right now where they have enough money to do that. When I was that age, I was, and I had enough money to do it. Would I have paid someone to help me do it? I mean, I invested in a bunch of different things, but I'm very like rare for my age, right? And so I'm just being real with you. I just don't think it's going to be a profitable niche. I think it's just going to cause you more hassle than what's worth it. So instead, what I would probably go for is people who have maybe done a graduate job. They've made some money from their graduate job, and now you're helping them leave their graduate job to build their own business. That's what I would do. So Tim Gallagher makes a really good question. And he said, can you target men and women in the fitness industry if my niches reach their full potential through performance and mindset coaching, or just stick to one gender? So in the fitness industry, we have clients, for example, who are men who help women. And we've never had women who help just men. If I'm going to be honest, right? Like when I was in the fitness industry, I think the way that I was able to scale so fast is because I just made all my branding very female empowerment friendly, right? It was like, I'm helping women get strong. So that allowed me to attract people. Yeah, I had some male clients. Like I still have a client called Steve. And you know, he's awesome. But at the end of the day, he's not who like I was going after. I think he liked my stuff because he had a kid and believes in that kind of mission. But at the end of the day, 100%, if I was going back now, I would just focus on women. Just makes it easier. You can make jokes like about girly things. It just makes it so much easier. James said, how often should we be posting on all platforms? It's a lot to juggle for one person. What can you advise? Okay, so we actually have a service now which we can provide to our clients, which is whereby every single week we ensure that they have enough content to get them really good results, right? So what we have them do is we have them film one long video, so like 20 minute video, just talk in front of your camera or your phone. Again, you guys, you don't need a crazy camera, just talk in front of it, right? 20 minutes. If you mess up, it's cool, we'll edit it. Then from that becomes a YouTube video, it then becomes a podcast, and it becomes three pieces of micro content. So you know those videos that you see on my profile which have like a headline and subtitles and all that? That's just from one video. So that's giving you five pieces of content. And then the other content in between those five pieces of content can just be like photos with captions, okay? So that's all you really need every week. I advise posting every day if you can. You know, if you have someone editing the video for you, then it's easy. But when it comes to the type of content, video content crushes it, okay? So when it comes to how often you should post, I would say at least every other day. It's just good to get into the habit of it. But ultimately, what's the most important thing is that your quality of your content, when someone comes on your profile, so they get onto your LinkedIn page, for example, they see one of your high quality videos and they're like, whoa, this person's awesome. That is more important than having loads of mediocre or crappy content. I know people like Gary Vee say different, but when it comes to high ticket coaching, you know, Gary Vee's not teaching people how to get high ticket clients. Gary Vee is teaching people how to grow a following, right? I'm teaching people how to get high paying clients. And so when it comes to high paying clients, you need to have higher quality. And so that's what's important. And that's why I think I'm blowing up on LinkedIn. So literally, so my cousin got out to America about probably 2 months ago, pretty much to the day, right? When he got there, I literally had like 3,000 or 4,000 followers on LinkedIn. I now almost have 10,000, right? How crazy is that? Because my content's good and because we have this system to generate 100 new leads every single day, which is building my audience on autopilot. And I'm literally barely ever on there. It's awesome. Connor Tyson replied one more time saying, thanks to your previous response, Lauren. In terms of delivering a high ticket product as spoken about, I know that my one-on-one coaching services can deliver exceptional results, but I don't have as much experience through using online coaching. Big question on my mind right now is finding the best system to deliver people my coaching and content. I feel like it's a lot of people relate to this. It's often hard to choose the right software / coaching delivery method for their online course / coaching services. Trying to be efficient and not work overly hard at delivering my clients ideal results. Online coaching is still new to me. I am going to leave a link to the one which I recommend just to make it simple. So I'll leave a link in the Facebook group. I'll probably even make a document of resources that I recommend people to be using to get started. They are all going to be affiliate links. Full disclosure, I'm pretty sure they all give you free trials and stuff because I have such a good relationship with these people. So yeah, there you go. Somebody asked, what's the difference in the content that you should post on LinkedIn to Instagram? Nada. There's no different. I post more lifestyle content on my Instagram because I find that with what I do, building an online business, people want to see my travel lifestyle. But then when it comes to my LinkedIn, I just focus on the valuable content there. Somebody just said for fitness coaches, check out Trainerize. I do not recommend that. There's a way better one. So I'll leave that linked. And we also have like 40% discount. Trainerize is really bad compared to the one that we use, just being straight up. Okay, there was a massive comment, but it's gone now. So guys, that is going to be everything. I need some water, but this has been awesome. And I look forward to the one to tomorrow. Make sure to show up early tomorrow so that I can get to your question. And if you have any questions in the meantime, I'm going to put a question thread in the group because then I can record future podcast Q&As about that for you guys. So guys, Jeremy says, I love the program so far. Thank you so much for this amazing opportunity. That is awesome, guys. If you're loving this, if you can just record a video on your phone, don't send it to me on Instagram DM, like straight up, go onto your camera, right? Record a video of you saying like why you like it and why you're enjoying it. It can be super short. I want to share it on social media. Just be like, Lauren, I'm loving your program so far. Da, 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 here's the reason why. Even video me saying this right now, guys, and like share that. I would, because then what you can do with that video, post it to your story. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to record it. And then I'm going to share it on my stuff as well. I want to put you guys on my website as the first round of the MBA. You are my people. Number one, you're the first round of going through the Impact MBA other than my clients, my paying clients. And so being round one, I want you guys to help me out here. I want you to share this with people. And this information I know is going to change so many lives. So many people are struggling right now. There's almost 100 of you on here live. That is insane. And so we're going to change so many people's lives. I'm going to help you build your business. You guys are going to serve your clients. What does that mean? The world is going to have the positivity that it needs right now, because right now times are tough. And so you being here, you showing up live, that shows me that you're someone who is gonna be making a big impact. And I am just loving the fact that we can serve people. So I'm still accepting people into the Impact MBA until the end of today. If you have any fellow business owner friends or people that could do with a business, having a business, make sure that they sign up. I may run this program again in the future. I don't know if I will do it again for free. Not sure yet. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for coming. So with that said, if you've enjoyed this, make sure to tune back in, hit subscribe, because we have two more to come where this came from. And make sure to go to Impact School MBA to join the waitlist for when we may do this again in the future. If we don't do it, we'll make sure that we give you access to something for free anyways. And also when you join the waitlist, what's going to happen is we'll send you a link to get straight into that Facebook group where you can find a bunch of resources and some other freebies. So with that said, I'll see you in the next one. My name is Lauren Tickner. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Impact School's podcast. Thank you.